the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, what do you think about angels? Do you believe in them? Have you heard of someone who's seen an angel? Have you seen an angel? And are we allowed to believe in them? Or is it a bit weird to do so? Well, we see angels depicted everywhere in religious art, don't we? Art, paintings, statues, and in our own church. And I will come back to that because there is much about angels in our church. But we don't talk about them very much, do we? The church as a whole has spoken less and less about them over time. And so what has happened? Well, New Age spirituality has spoken about them more and more as we've spoken less and less. So we need to reclaim angels for the church and for our own spiritual lives. Should we believe in them? Yes, because they are important and they are an essential part of the biblical tradition. So, what I want to do today is firstly look at the biblical evidence for angels and what it says about them. Secondly, look at where we find them in this church so you can go off exploring later. And thirdly, look at their importance. Look at their importance to us in our lives, and particularly at this time in the world. So firstly, the biblical tradition. Well, if I invite you for a moment to just imagine, have an image in your mind of what an angel looks like, I wonder what you see. I will give you a moment. Now, we don't usually in this church call out answers, though I could cope if anyone did. But if you want to keep it to yourself for the moment, that's all right. I am making a guess that most of you have thought of some sort of being with wings. Am I right? Nod if I'm right. Good. No, not everyone. I like to see the nose. That is terrific. Okay. So, let me tell you something about angels from the Bible. You see, the biblical tradition does not really describe angels as having wings. Let me explain more. The word in Greek for angel is angelos, and in Hebrew, if you're reading the Old Testament, is malach. And they both mean messenger. So angels bring a message, usually from God, well, always, I'd say, and communicate that message to somebody. That's what we see in the Bible. So they represent the heavenly world, and they move in that thin space between earthly reality and heavenly reality. You know, that really thin line. And we hear a lot about them in the Old Testament. Now, we heard about some strange creatures in the Ezekiel reading, didn't we? And just a word on Ezekiel. That bit at the beginning about how Ezekiel was speaking from exile by the, well, it was really more a canal than a river, Chiba, is important. So Ezekiel is speaking out of a place of exile, and he's going to be a prophet to the Israelites in their despair. So part of what he's going to be offering, apart from words of, come on, you need to do the right thing, it's going to be comfort and consolation. So important we have a few different images of angels round about that and those messages in Ezekiel. All right. Now, in the New Testament, angels are mentioned. If I asked you to guess, you know, we had a jar and how many times, and you'll get the prize if you guess the closest. It's actually 175 times in the New Testament that angels are mentioned. And what do they do? Well, they rescue apostles. They are mediators of God's judgment. They work on behalf of the apostles. And we're also told there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. They carry souls to paradise around God's throne and fill the heavenly world with songs of praise. And we've already been singing some of that. So angels are very busy creatures. Now, cherubim and seraphim that we often associate with angels are not messengers, but they are heavenly beings who are around the throne of God, and their job is to worship God day and night eternally. Cherubim have four wings and exist to be, they hold up the throne of God on their wings, we are told, and the seraphim fly before the throne of God saying, "Holy, holy," etc. And they have six pairs of wings. With two they cover their face, with two they fly, and with two they cover their feet. Now the purposes of the wings, therefore, are both to cover themselves before God in reverence and to enable them to fly before God. Now in the book of Ezekiel particularly, and I'll mention that because we've read it today, we see they are hybrid beings. They have a human body with a beast face or a beast with a human face. So, strange creatures, you might say, different to angels. Now, with the angels, it is really interesting in the scriptures that nothing is usually ever said. There is one tiny maybe exception. But nothing is usually ever said about them having wings. So if angels don't have wings, then when they come as a messenger, people are not sure whether they are angels or not. If you have a strange person come to you that you don't know, they come in human form, they don't have wings, they come say something helpful, you wouldn't know they were an angel, would you? And that uncertainty happens often in biblical stories. For example, the story of Abraham and Sarah, when three strangers, dash angels, as we find out, appear with a message of a child that will be born to Sarah, Sarah, who is in her old age and barren. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Always show hospitality to strangers, because by doing so, some people have entertained angels unawares." So, if they had wings, you wouldn't be entertaining them unawares, because you'd say, "Oh my gosh, they've come from heaven, they're an angel." As well as angels being messengers, they are also part of the heavenly host. And they even overlap with the stars, we think. Now, some of this that I'm telling you, I have learnt from one of the lay canons of St Paul's Cathedral, London, Paula Gooder, who is a great biblical scholar. So she's done all the research on this, so I didn't quite have to do it all. Well, we read that the angels can have shining white garments like God. So God's white shininess must be contagious, mustn't it? Because we know that God on the throne, we are told, has shining white garments. So these are the images we're given. And remember Moses, after he'd gone up Mount Sinai to talk with God, he came down with a shining face. That's rather lovely, isn't it, to think of how God's shininess is rather contagious. A few special angels are named in the Bible. We have Michael and Gabriel, and in the book of Tobit, Raphael, and in later Jewish literature, Uriel. And these are called archangels or senior angels. Now in Hebrew it's pronounced more like Mikael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel. So what do you notice? The L at the end of the names. An L actually means in Hebrew God. So all have the name of God in their name, in these archangels' names. St. Michael has been called the angel of fire, love's fierce radiance. And he leads the heavenly armies against all supernatural forces of evil. And of course, we read this in the Revelation reading today, where Michael is the vanquisher of the primordial dragon, Satan, and bound by the strength of heaven. Now, I do, in case you're going to ask me later, I'm going to tell you now a little about guardian angels. In the biblical story, there are a few small hints of guardian angels. For example, in Psalm 91, God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all his ways. And in Daniel, the book of Daniel, Michael is the protector of a group of people, Israel, implying that other angels have other groups of people to look after, as we actually do read in Revelation. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, don't despise God's children, and by children means all of us, not just little ones, for I tell you in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father. So we have guardian angels according to that. And then there are all the fallen angels who try to usurp God's place on the throne and are cast out of heaven. Now, what about our church angels? Where do we see them here? Some of you have been here a lot longer than I have, or probably know more than I do, but let me point out a few that I've just been learning about. Now, you know our church spire, way up there? The designer of the spire, A.E. Johnson, said he hoped that the spire, which was made of freestone, not bluestone, I quote, would be kept as white as the feather of an angel's wing, pointing out to all that the way to heaven is upward. I looked at the spire as I came this morning, and it was not white. It was a dirtier, whitish, brownish colour. So I think no one's been able to really climb up there to clean it. But apart from that, it certainly is pointing upward. Now, on the west wall windows above the Transfiguration window are cherubim. And if you look at them, you might think they're headless angels because of their wings that they cover their face with. They can't see their face. So you might think they're headless when you look at them. And there are seraphim as well. The pulpit here that I'm standing here has carvings of angels. The chapel over there of St. Michael and All Angels was dedicated in 1937. And from the corbels rise the four archangels and the seraphim. So you have St. Michael the protector with armour, sword and shield over on that wall. Gabriel of the Annunciation has a trumpet and lilies. That rather fits, doesn't it? Raphael, who's the healing of God and chief of the guardian angels, it is said, has a pilgrim staff and a water vessel to help us on our way. And Uriel, interpreter of prophecies, has a book that I'm saying he's holding, but of course angels have no gender. They are not gendered beings. On either side of the apse is a seraph with six wings, And above the altar in the angel chapel, the octosectile mosaic, so that mosaic, beautiful mosaic above the altar, represents the angels of the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Two angels of the resurrection decorate the altar, each with a finger pointing upward, as if to say, "He is risen." And there are cherubim at the end of the communion rails and on the stone canopy. The lectern in the chapel has the angel of the church to Ephesus from the book of Revelation, which is really interesting. I did not know that till I started reading the history books of the church. The doors outside the chapel have a guardian angel of little children on one side and Gabriel on the other side. So, can you see? We are absolutely surrounded by angels in this church. Now, have you experienced an angel? Well, firstly, every time we meet for worship, we are joining with an ongoing worship by all the company of heaven, including the angels and archangels, the cherubim and seraphim. And in the great Thanksgiving prayer of the Eucharist that we will say shortly, we say, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." So how do you know that if someone comes to you, perhaps a stranger, that they might be an angel? Well, they will bring a message for you, and that message will be unexpected, perhaps. It will be consoling and comforting, and it will be from a loving God. So if you get a message that doesn't have those criteria, then you can think, well, I don't think that's come from God. But we need to be open to being surprised by God in our daily lives. Paula Goodett told a story of a woman she knew who was seriously ill in intensive care in hospital and likely to die. During the night, someone dressed like a nurse came to her, sat with her all night, holding her hand, and said, "Don't be afraid, God is with you." In the morning, the crisis had gone and the woman had started to improve. And so she asked the nurse in charge if she could thank the night nurse who'd come and sat with her all night. And the senior nurse said, "Well, there was no one who did that." So this woman absolutely believes that was an angel from God with a message to help her. In a way, who knows, and does it matter whether it was a human person or an angel? The point is that a significant message was communicated that was consistent with a loving God who knows each of our individual circumstances. Now, when we move to Jesus in the gospel reading today, Jesus promises to Nathanael that we can find the divine in our ordinary, everyday lives. The two threads of the marvellous, the wonderful, and the ordinary are woven together in our lives, and the invisible is all around us if we open our eyes and believe, and this is a cause for wonder. The eternal can be seen, touched, and known. As Jesus says to Nathanael, finally, "You will see even more. The heavens will open and you will see the angels descending and ascending on me." It is Jesus the angels point to as they go up and down Jacob's ladder. In the humanity of Jesus, the earthly and the heavenly have come together, of course. And because God is present there in Jesus, his way is accompanied by angels. And at his coming again, the angels will be at his side. Amen.